Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a leader, author, and an entrepreneur. A little over 13 years ago, my guest began helping seniors stay mobile, safe, and happy with his company, The Physio Company. What started as less than a full-time job for one person has since grown to a team of 100, delivering over 200,000 physiotherapy consults per year. And for 7 consecutive years now, they have earned themselves a place on BRW's annual list of Australia's best places to work. And also, while growing and scaling his company, my guest decided to attend MIT's Entrepreneurial Master's Program, which he successfully graduated from in 2014. Most recently, my guest published a book called Culture is Everything. Now, let's hack Tristan White. Before we get going with today's interview, I have a question for you. Have you ever considered starting your own business or launching a startup? If the answer is yes, which I'm assuming it is, then you're probably going to want a great logo, as well as business cards and a website and a whole bunch of graphic design needs you will have. Well, this is where designcrowd.com can help. And thankfully, they're today's sponsor. Here's how DesignCrowd works. First thing is you just have to visit designcrowd.com/hack and you post a brief describing the design you need. Just let's say a brand new logo. Then DesignCrowd will open your project to their 550,000 designers to respond. Step 3, within hours, you will begin receiving designs. And over the course of 3 to 10 days, a typical project will receive 60 to over 100 different designs from designers around the world. Last step, you just have to pick the best design, and the designers get paid. Plus, you're covered. If you don't find a design you want from the 60 to 100 you've been given, no problem. DesignCrowd has an absolute money-back guarantee. Crowdsourcing design on DesignCrowd helps you get access to the collective creativity of hundreds of thousands of designers, and it will save you money, time, and it'll help you find the best design possible for your budget. Plus, they want to give you $100 off your very first project for being a Hack the Entrepreneur listener. Check out designcrowd.com/hack right now, and that $100 off your first project is waiting for you. Once again, that's designcrowd.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very, very special guest all the way from Australia. Tristan, welcome to the show.
G'day, John. Great to be here.
This is cool. It took us a few tries to get together, but we're here and I think it's going to be worth the wait. So what do you say? Should we jump straight into it?
Absolutely. Let's go.
Let's do it. Tristan, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Fantastic question, John. And I think the one thing that I have done for a very long time, I continue to do every day, is an obsession for learning new things. I absolutely believe that there's no possible way that I can lead an organization or a company and grow it if I don't grow myself first. And so an obsession with learning, growing, and to borrow the term of the show, John, is hacking myself so that I can be the best entrepreneur that I possibly can be.
Nice. And do you feel that you just need to be the best entrepreneur to lead your company, or do you also need to be like the best human being you've ever been?
John, of course, it's the best human being. There's being an entrepreneur is a subset of being a human being, and there's no option to be the best person that I can be, the best human being, and the skills that I learn as an entrepreneur are completely transferable across all other parts of my life as well, and vice versa.
Right. So you've been the CEO now and founder of The Physio Company for over 13 years.
That's right, a long time.
Yeah, and it's grown like exponentially from where you started? I'm assuming it was probably you and maybe a couple other people at the beginning.
John, it was seriously just me, and the physio co was one 12-hour per week subcontracting engagement was where it came, it grew from. I worked, got enough work to finally have a full-time job myself, and then I started employing people. So it started from a fraction of a person, John.
Not even a full-time job.
That's it.
So in this process, like this obsession with learning new things, I love this. But is this something you've sort of innately like always had within you? Or is this something that once you went from a fraction of a job to like scaling out the company that you realized you had to stay in front of this thing or else it was going to run you over?
I think it's the answer to your question is both, John, and that I'm a naturally curious person, and that I did spend time. I'm also a naturally obsessive person. So when I think of something new or learn something new, I try to get as much information about it as I possibly can. And so I've always been like that. But to use a very entrepreneurial term of scaling up, I really had to scale up my learning and my growing and be very focused on what I needed to know. And actually, probably, John, one thing that's critical is that I'm not only about what I need to know, because that's, of course, we need to have the skills for the job, but it's who I need to know. I'm a very big believer in answering questions in that. It's a who question. Who can I ask? Who's done this before? Who can I connect with? And that's a very important way that I continue to learn and grow, by surrounding myself with people that have been there and done that.
Nice. Is the physio company the first company that you started, or was there others prior to this?
No, this is the first one, John. I was a 24-year-old boy when I launched the Physio Co, and 13 years I've been chipping away from that fraction of a job to our team of more than 100 team members now, and we deliver over 200,000 physical therapy consultations every year. But this is certainly the main game, that's for sure.
Nice. And at some point, I guess to push the idea of your obsession for new learning, you've also gone back to school.
Yes, I have.
And you've gotten a master's degree?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm a qualified physical therapist is my undergrad degree. And then about 5 years into running the Physio Co, I did go back to school and studied a master's in business.
At MIT?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. That's impressive. So what, besides just this obsession with learning, was there something sort of like, was there a struggle or something wrong that you felt in your business that you had to be educated on, like sort of like being a CEO and running the company to the next level you wanted?
Yeah, there's been so many stumbling blocks and challenges like that, John. But the reason I went to business school was because I wasn't sure that I understood business. I wasn't sure that what I was doing was more of a confidence thing in myself rather than a technical hole in my skills, if that makes any sense. And interestingly, I went to business school to learn about business, and I learned more about myself. I learned more about myself as a leader and as a human being. And of course, I learned technical skills in business, but it was putting those skills together in me being the best version of myself. It was a fantastic learning from my time at business school.
And was there a decision you had to make between going to school and maybe just getting mentors or hiring coaches, like business coaches around you?
Yeah, along the journey, I've certainly had coaches and mentors, and I still do. But I did decide that business school, for two reasons, I chose business school over the mentor or coaches, and that is that I wanted to both develop the skill set, but I also wanted to build a network of other business owners and business leaders. And I felt like I really had that opportunity by doing that, by studying together with some other leaders as well.
Nice. And if you had to go back and do it again, would you go back to business school?
At the time, absolutely. I would for sure. It was 2009, 2010 that I did that study. And for me at the time, it was perfect. But now, 8 years on, the world has changed somewhat, John, and whether it's the right thing to do is to do a tertiary degree in business is I'd have to do my research again as to whether I would say do it now, but at the time, absolutely, it was fantastic for me then, right back then.
There we go. And I don't mean to push it super far in your business school. It's just that I know so many people are probably listening, and I know so many people struggle with, should they go to business school or not, or should they just keep going in business or even start their business? So
yeah,
anything you could enlighten them, that would have helped. So.
Well, John, on that, it's business school was an important part of my development, but it certainly wasn't. I could not have leveraged the skills and learned what I need to if I hadn't started my business, if I wasn't immersed in it, if I wasn't doing it. I think it's a part of my growth and development, but it certainly wasn't the critical part for being the best entrepreneur I can be.
Right. Very well said. So your one thing you said is that obsession for learning new things. Now, Tristan, every business expert, every blog post out there talks about this 80-20 rule in business. You're supposed to find that 20% that gives you the 80% of results. You're supposed to do what you're good at and delegate the rest. Can you, Tristan, please tell me something that you're absolutely not good at in your business?
Yeah, absolutely I can. I'm not particularly good at project management. I'm not good at the detail of following through on things and making sure that projects are run, are planned well, are executed well, and are delivered on time. Project management is not my strength. Bigger picture vision and planning is certainly my strength, but project management and keeping things on track at a detailed level is not something I'm very good at.
Have you, I'm assuming, put people in place to take care of this for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And just because I'm not good at it doesn't mean that I don't have to do it sometimes. I don't believe in the situation that you don't have to do some things that aren't your strength. But yeah, I'm very grateful and very pleased. I've got some fantastic detailed people that help to plug the holes and to fill those gaps that I leave. By the same token, I can't expect them to do a job that I don't understand myself. And so I do need to know what's important, what they're up to, but leverage the skill of those people that got those strengths that I don't.
Do you feel, as the CEO and the founder and sort of the visionary in front of it, that you need to know at least a working knowledge of every aspect of the business without being the expert in that aspect?
John, I do. There are entrepreneurs out there who will disagree with me, and I'm happy to debate this. But again, that's one of the reasons why I went to business school, was to understand what are the different functions of the business that are needed. And once I've got an overview of what's required, then I can engage the specialist skills to really own that function and take responsibility for it. So I don't know how to run our finance department, but I know what the outputs that our finance department needs to achieve to give me the information to be able to run our business. And so that is my belief, John.
I like it. And I think it's a pretty even split, it seems to be, between people who feel like they need to know at least how it's supposed to work and how it's running, and other people who just want nothing to do with it and just want to stay high level.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's a right or a wrong.
Well, John, I can tell you that if it goes wrong, if you have problems, if you don't know how to understand it yourself, then you have to call in someone else to help you recover it. And I think as a bootstrapped entrepreneur who tries to run a pretty lean operation, it's important that you do have that ability to diagnose problems yourself. And so that's one of the reasons why I think it's important that the CEO does know what's required.
Excellent. So let's move to projects, if we can, Tristan. Mm-hmm. Projects is a loose term typically on this show. So usually an internal project within the company, whether it's a customer acquisition project or a new product you want to create or a new service. But I would love to know, from all of these, if you could take just one in your head, a project. And I know that ideas probably come to you from your team, and ideas probably come to yourself as you're going through your day. But sifting through everything, how is it that you and your team at this point takes the idea for a project and decides that this project is worth yours and your team's time, energy, and resources?
Awesome question. And look, John, the Physio Co is a values-based organization. We have a very clear core purpose that the Physio Co exists to help seniors stay mobile, safe, and happy. Physiotherapy for elderly people is our main game. And we have a set of four core values, which are respect everyone, be memorable, find a better way, and think big, act small. And that core purpose and those core values really are our filter as to whether projects do fit with the why the Physio Co exists and what we're about. And so any new project, any new idea is ran by and is checked against alignment with both our core purpose and our core values to make sure it's a fit. And beyond that, if it's a yes to core purpose and core values, then we move on to our long-term vision. We've got a 10-year obsession that we're working towards, a 10-year vision, and that's broken down into three-year painted picture goals. And if an idea aligns with purpose and values, then we check it against vision. And finally, if we've got alignment on all those things, that's when it's in the very close to deciding if it's a go or not.
Wow. I love that. I love that think big, act small. That's a cool core belief to have, especially as a company that's growing. So you're not really trying to stay small, but you're trying to act small.
Yeah, absolutely. And how that applies to running a business or the service we provide is sometimes, John, it's the smallest acts which can have the biggest impact both on our business or on our customers or on our employees. And something as small as me as the entrepreneur being grateful and thankful to my team members working hard on projects, if I thank them in a genuine way and with a literal pat on the back when they do a great job, that's a small act that can have a really big impact on our business over a long period of time.
Yeah, and you're in a unique sort of entrepreneur and guest on the show. So I want to talk about, because you run this business for over 13 years, it's growing exceptionally well. You are at the forefront of it as well as the beginning of it, but you also have a side hustle or a side business as Tristan White yourself. And you do workshops and you speak and you write. So as that, like take that whole big thing that I just said, all of the presentations to speaking and the writing as a project, what was your thinking behind it when choosing to, as well as running the company, that you were going to start this side business of you as like a thought leader or a speaker or an author or all three, if you wish?
Yeah, John, great question. And over a long time, that's sort of been quite these two things of me being the entrepreneur and founder behind the Physio Co, which is a healthcare business, and this the culture is everything business, which is the side hustle as you described it. They have seemingly been quite separate, but then over the years they've sort of got closer and closer to more and more alignment. And the beauty is, John, that I became obsessed over creating a strong culture and a great place to work at the Physio Co. For two reasons. One, because I thought it was the right thing to do, and that if you're going to create a workplace, it better be a good one. And secondly, it was strategic to be able to grow our business and to be able to continue to attract great people and great talent to our business by having a fantastic culture and a great workplace. And so for years, I've been obsessing over learning how to do that and implementing it and applying it at the Physio Co. And then I started getting questions, how do you do it? How do you do this sort of stuff, Tristan? And so I would give these long-winded answers that made some sort of sense to me, but were completely unclear to people who were new to this culture stuff. And so that was the inspiration for me to start blogging and sharing my ideas in a spot in a different place, which is tristanwhite.com.au, which is my personal blog site. And over time, I've learned more, I've applied to the Physio Co, I've shared it at my blog site, and I've become a speaker. And that has grown over time. But the beauty is I get to share the stories of the Physio Co. I get to tell the world about the great work the Physio Co is doing by doing these presentations, which helps to grow and promote the Physio Co. And at the same time, I get to share my passion about helping other people learn how to build great places to work. Because call me crazy, but I think the world needs more great workplaces, John. And the two different projects that I work on, which are intimately linked in a lot of ways as well.
Yeah. Okay. So they're not totally, it's not a side hustle. That was a really, because that can usually mean like somebody just starting the small, like a lemonade stand on the side when they have a job they hate. Totally not what I'm talking about here. And when you repeated it back to me, I didn't feel right. So they're two like simultaneous businesses that probably feed on each other. Do you also believe that wanting to make a better workplace at the Physio Co. and then wanting to teach that and share it with others, do you believe that through education and through trying to educate and teach others this stuff that you actually get a better understanding and learn it better yourself?
No question. Absolutely. Every presentation I do, John, I present my ideas and my experience and my findings, and I ask questions and I get feedback, and I walk away from every presentation having learned about at least one, if not more things from the people in the audience who were there to learn from me, I learn from them as well. It's a fantastic way to feed my obsession for learning as well.
And how do you physically do it? Like, do you physically, like certain days a week or certain amounts of time, or is it just kind of a blur of Tristan White everywhere and just getting anything done that needs to get done between the two companies?
Look, it's to go back to the 80-20 rule. I'm a full-time committed CEO of the Physio Co, which I commit at least full-time hours to my job at the Physio Co, leading the Physio Co. But of my professional career, if you were to break it down into an 80-20 rule, 80% of my time is on the Physio Co and 20% of my time would be spent on this Culture's Everything business.
Excellent. Excellent. So, and there's also another new project. So within Tristan White, there's a brand new book you've decided to write amongst all of this. Can you tell us about the book? It's not even out yet. So I don't know if I can share this.
It's we can talk about it, but don't tell anyone, John.
Okay.
But look, absolutely. It's a project that's been in production for a while. It's been a few years in the making and actually 2 years of actually since I started writing it. But it's called Culture is Everything, with the subtitle, The Story and System of a Startup That Became Australia's Best Place to Work. And it really is a story about my obsession with learning and my learning around growing an entrepreneurial business and a great place to work. But it's broken up. The book is broken up into the four secrets of a world-class culture, and it helps to share the ideas of how the Physio Co has built a great culture and been awarded as one of Australia's best places to work, and make it into an accessible and practical way for people to learn and apply it in their own businesses or teams or committees or even family if they choose to do it that way.
So the book is for anyone looking to start and grow a business like this, or to like transform their business from a disorganized mess into a well-run organization?
The latter. It's a disorganized mess into something. And John, one thing we haven't touched on is a part of my entrepreneurial journey, which I call the fifth year struggle. And that is 5 years in, I had this 20 person business, which was a big mess that I created with everyone reporting to me. And it was with no vision or values or purpose. And I was stuck, and I really was unsure how to continue from there. But I went searching for a solution. I came up with a method to follow, a model to follow, which is a values-based approach. And from there, from that 20-person team to over 100 people we have now, is the scale-up that I've learned, and that's what I've documented in this book to help other people in that journey.
Nice. The five-year struggle, you called it?
Yeah, that's right. Nice. Yeah, that's right.
I like it. So does Tristan White as a business, does it have these core values?
It doesn't have them defined specifically, John, but here's an embarrassing fact that I often have to share with you, and that is that at that fifth year struggle mark, I was stuck, and I went through a long process of deciding what the future may hold, and a process of discovering the core values of the Physio Co. And there were multiple versions of them, and there was lots of iterations, and finally we got to the four we have today, which includes Think Big, Act Small. And after a period of time of settling on them, documenting them, releasing them and sharing them with our team, about 6 months later, it became blatantly obvious to me, and I was very embarrassed at the time, that those core values of the Physio Co we'd discovered and shared and with our leadership team were effectively my personal core values. And the words we used may have been a little bit different if I'd have documented them in my personal way for myself, but effectively they are Tristan White's core values, and therefore the Tristan White organization, if that is what we describe it as, really does operate with the same core values as the Physio Co.
There we go. Nice. So the book took 2 years to write. It's coming out this weekend, which, as people hear this, will actually have been a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is the book better than you expected it to be 2 years ago?
It sure is. It sure is.
Yeah.
And like many a project and business, John, it's pivoted a number of times through those 2 years. We've changed direction. And I remember I got the full transcript about 6 months ago, and chapter 8 was just a big mess. And there was I spent so much time just reworking that chapter. And I've got a copy right here in front of me, and I'm really proud of how it's come out. I've no doubt that any project I'll review it in time and think I could have done that better. But for the time being, I'm really pleased with what we've created.
That's what I like to hear. So now, as we're on like the just on the edge of you launching this book, do you have in your mind, or even written down, do you have like any success metrics around it to what you will deem the book successful in the next 3 months, 6 months, or a year?
I haven't documented that, John, and maybe it's something that I should. But the book is not about making money. the book is about sharing an idea. And I quote Seth Godin when I say that share ideas, because Seth clearly tells us that ideas are meant to spread and the projects are meant to ship. And this book project is about shipping an idea. It's about capturing a moment in time of my life as to what I've obsessively learned, that's something that I've got experience in and I know that does work in at least one business, and sharing that idea with as many people as possible and hopefully creating more great workplaces, because call me crazy, but I think the world does need as many great workplaces as we can possibly create.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I guess a success metric could be the number of people that get it in their hands and get to implement it into their businesses.
Yeah, true. Absolutely.
Rather than sales. Sales are whatever. For something like this, you're right. It's not about that. It's about getting it into people's hands who will actually use it.
Yeah.
All right. So this has been a lot of fun. I'm glad we finally got to sit down. I would love to wrap up with one final question for you, Tristan.
Mm-hmm.
It's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. It seems to be this gap sometimes we live in as entrepreneurs, as dreamers. No matter what we accomplish from the outside, to ourselves, we always project our successes into the future. So on Sunday when you launch that book, or in 6 months when you stand on that stage, or in 1 year when you hit that revenue metric with the Physio Co., whatever it happens to be, Tristan, you and I both know seconds before that happens, you're going to set 5 or 10 bigger ones into the future. And I agree, we have to. That's what pushes us forward. But it also ends us in this gap sometimes where no matter what we accomplish, it's always in the future where we'll see ourselves as a success. So you've been through a lot. You've been on a journey for almost 14 years now. You've just finished a book after 2 years. I would love it right now if you could stop, turn around, and look behind you. The highs, the lows, the wins, the losses. But tell me how you feel about this whole journey until today.
John, I feel amazingly grateful for the opportunity that I've had. I'm not one to boast or brag about our successes, because that's just not who I am. But my goodness, I'm very, very proud of what we've created, the people that I've been able to work with and bring together in an amazing team. And even recently, John, I've been through a decent-sized challenge, business challenge at the Physio Co. Despite being over 13 years old, we still have our ups and downs. And I learn more and I become a better person and a better entrepreneur through those challenges. So in short, if there's one word to describe how I feel about this whole journey and this entrepreneurial life that I've chosen, is that I'm extremely grateful for that opportunity that I've had.
I love it. I love it. All right, Tristan, we got to talk about the business. Got to talk about the book. The book is Culture is Everything by Tristan White. You'll be able to get it anywhere you get books online in the next few weeks or days. I'll link to it on Amazon in the show notes for you at Hack the Entrepreneur. Thephysioco.au?
Thephysioco.com.au
is the main business that we talked about. TristanWhite.com.au is Tristan White's website. Tristan is also to be found on Instagram, Tristan J. White, as well as facebook.com/TristanJ.White. I will link to every single one of those things in the show notes, so they're easy for you to find when you're done walking, jogging, working out, driving, whatever it is you're doing right at this very moment. Tristan, it's been an absolute blast. I absolutely 100% appreciate you taking the time to stop by in this early morning of yours. And I wish you all the luck with the book. It's 2 years into a project is amazing. And like Seth Godin says, you are shipping on Sunday. So that's very, very, very cool. So thank you so much for stopping by. And please just keep doing what you're doing, because it is awesome to watch.
Thanks, John. I love the chat and I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. So have an awesome day.
I'd like to take a moment and tell you about my sponsor, DesignCrowd. DesignCrowd is a website that helps entrepreneurs and small businesses like yourself outsource or crowdsource custom graphic, logo, and web design from designers around the world. DesignCrowd has more than 550,000 designers from over 100 countries, all ready to help you with any creative and design projects you might have. Plus, they have a very cool offer just for you as a Hack the Entrepreneur listener. Check out designcrowd.com/hack. That's DesignCrowd, designcrowd.com/hack, for a special exclusive VIP offer for Hack the Entrepreneur listeners. Well, that was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed being part of that conversation. The book, once again, Tristan just put out, is called Culture is Everything: The Story and System of a Startup That Became Australia's Best Place to Work. If you are looking to be inspired and follow, have a system to follow to lead a team, lead your team to greatness and to big things, then this book is absolutely something you should pick up. I have not had a chance yet to read it, but I'm going to make a point of it. TristanWhite.com.au, since he's Australian, or I believe you can track it down on Amazon or anywhere you buy books as well. So this was a fun conversation. It was a conversation that it took us many starts and stops to get to, but once we did, I really enjoyed it. It was a real pleasure to get to talk to Tristan, get to kind of get to his thinking of why he went back to business school while building a business, and his take on culture, and then also like running his company from not quite a one-man show to 100 people, and now to also like starting this side sort of, I guess, endeavor of writing and speaking. So it was really, really cool to be part of the conversation, and now it's also really one of my favorite parts of the conversation is this part where I get to now go back and I get to listen to the conversation as you did. So I did. I went back through the conversation, and then I went back through the conversation again, and then I went back through the conversation again. That third time that I went through, I had missed something that Tristan had said to me, and I'm not sure how I missed it, but I'd missed it. And when I heard it this third time, it was it. It was so very, very, very clear to me. It was the one thing that Tristan said. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Again, that's one of the reasons why I went to business school, was to understand what are the different functions of the business that are needed. And once I've got an overview of what's required, then I can engage the specialist skills to really own that function and take responsibility for it. So I don't know how to run our finance department, but I know what the outputs that our finance department needs to achieve to give me the information to be able to run our business.
And that's the hack. Tristan. I love this. I really do. And right before this, he prefaced this hack with the fact that lots of other entrepreneurs and CEOs would argue with him on this, and he's willing to debate it to no end. But it's this idea of having the big picture vision and leadership for your company and for what it is you're trying to accomplish, but at the same time, having an understanding of all of the individual parts of the business. So some people will say that as an entrepreneur, you don't need to know how different functions of the business function. But what Tristan is saying is, yes, you need to. And I love this because this is like knowing enough to kind of be dangerous, as we say, where he's like, I don't need to know how to run the finance department of my company, but I went to business school. I went back to business school to learn sort of like the inputs and the outputs necessary within finance of the company to understand it from that aspect and from that foundation so that he could run and lead the company properly. Meaning that he doesn't feel like you can understand or lead all aspects of your company without having a certain level of understanding of each of those aspects. You don't have to be a master marketer necessarily. You don't have to be like the bookkeeper and really, really good at finance, but you have to know at least what it is you're trying to accomplish and what you're trying to achieve. This is very different from what a lot of people think. Tristan has proven with his track record that this is an effective form of leadership, and I love it. And I thank you so much, Tristan, for sharing it. All right. It's been fun. This was good. HackTheEntrepreneur.com it's the website. And I've been talking for the last 2 weeks about this new website that is coming. And delays, I tell you, delays. I don't know why I thought that it would be on time. It just isn't. But that's where we are. That's how we roll. So so you can still see the original site up there now. But any day now, it's going to get switched over and it's going to be cool. You're going to dig it, I think. Yeah. So very shortly, possibly in 2 episodes from today. So whenever you hear this, it might already be out. That's hard to say. but I am starting the Hack the Entrepreneur mailbag. I want to answer your questions. Business, leadership, marketing, ideas, execution, hiring, firing, whatever it is you want. I want to answer your questions live on the air. I'll say your name and your website if you wish, and I'll drop you a link into the show notes to send some people over to what it is you are building. Anything you want answered, I'd love to help. So John, J-O-N, at hacktheentrepreneur.com is where you can email me. I have some very, very cool questions coming up for the first episode, and I'd love some more for the following episodes. We'll see if we can make this a regular segment every 2 weeks or so and see where it goes. Also, if you want to just go over to Twitter at John Naster and drop me a question there, you're free to do that. Whatever's easiest for you. All right. It's been fun. Thank you so much for joining me. You know, I think that I truly do appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.